God is omnipotent, folks. And I'm here to tell you, God is still on the throne. Okay? God is in control. God is in control. What did Jesus say to Martha? If you would believe, you will see the glory of God. And I'm telling you, you're going to see the glory of God. Because when God speaks, you better be listening. Because He will not be mocked. I'm telling you, God will not be mocked. God is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. He's the holiest. There is none that is holier. Makes you stop and think for a minute. I did. He's the original holy ruler. I know, but I want to be connected with that holy ruler. So when somebody calls you a holy ruler, yeah, that's because the Spirit of God is in me. Hallelujah. His name is holy. Because in Isaiah 57:15, in the Passion Translation, for this is what the High and Majestic One says. The one who fills the eternal realm with glory. That's His presence. His presence. His beauty. His magnificence. It, you could just go on and expound. Whose name is holy. The prophet says His name is holy. Because he learned that in a previous chapter 6. Because he had a dream and a vision. And God showed him when he opened up his eyes. And he was able to look into heaven. And he saw one sitting on the throne whose train just filled the room. His glory. And what did the angels proclaim? They said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And we will see it. Not just think, okay, His glory is here. You're going to see it, folks. I'm telling you. It's been prophesied. It's been spoken. And when God speaks, this guy listens. I've learned to listen. I don't judge. I listen. Especially when it comes to God. Holy and awesome is His name, is what it says in Psalm 111, verse 9. Holy and awesome is His name. In Psalm 48, verse 1, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Great praise for a great God. He's worthy of all of our praise. And let me tell you, His greatness is unsearchable, unfathomable, and it is unimaginable. You notice they use three because it really just expresses the importance of what you're talking about. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. In Psalm 34, verse 3, Psalm 34, verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Another word for exalt here is glorify. Let us glorify His holy name together. And glorify means to praise and worship. Let us praise and worship His holy name together. Because He is great and greatly to be praised. In Psalm 145, verse 21, says this, I will praise the Lord, and may everyone on earth bless His holy name forever and ever. That's nonstop, all the time, day and night. That's what the angels do. Day and night. Holiness unto the Lord our God, for He is righteous, for He is faithful, and He is sovereign over all. Sovereign over all. Our sovereign ruler, possessing supreme power. Power that is unlimited, immeasurable, inexhaustible. He reigns with all authority and all power. So I can say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come. He's not here right now in a bodily form, but He's here in spirit within each and every one of us. But He's going to be coming back and be coming in a body that I think everybody's going to say, whoa! And that's mild. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is the all-powerful one. He is omnipotent. Omnipotent. It derives from the Latin word omnis, meaning all, and potens, meaning powerful. Omnipotent. It's not a word that's found in the Bible. But Almighty appears in virtually every book of the Old Testament, often dozens of times. Almighty. El Shaddai. A Hebrew name for God invokes His omnipotence as the Almighty. El Shaddai means God most powerful or God Almighty. Another translation of Shaddai is overpower. Overpower. This expresses the concept of God, the superhero who overpowers Israel's enemies. And He is our superhero when we call upon Him. He overpowers our enemies. When I'm talking about superheroes, I like my superheroes. I grew up as a kid reading the comic books. So when they brought them to full-life movies, it was like, wow, awesome. Superheroes. I'm sitting and thinking about that. God is our superhero. I went on the internet. Who's the most powerful superhero? Hey, Doc, guess who it is? Thor. Thor! Thor was the most powerful, and I thought, wow. I said, but, and then you read about that, that can't be right. You know, but he was part of a group called what? The Avengers. All right? And God said, okay, look to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 6. I said, okay. And it says right there, the Lord is the Avenger. I said, I understand. Omnipotent. Well, that's when we talk about God that we say His omnipotence. you know, omnipotence. What does it mean? Omnipotence. Basically, there it is. It's a compound word. And it means omni, all. All. And potent, powerful. And when reading the Bible, we can clearly see that God is indeed omnipotent, all-powerful. It means God has unlimited authority and infinite power. He reigns with all authority and all power. And I don't know why, but when it took me this direction, I follow. Remember Abigail, the wise wife of the foolish Nabal? Okay. You can turn to Samuel 25. Samuel 25, verses 27 through 29, we're going to look at. I might read the whole thing, but anyhow, she knew that God was with David in this scenario. And the Lord had famously favored and protected him since his boyhood. When Nabal provoked David, ticked him off, you know, insulted him, it nearly caused his family to be slaughtered. But Abigail appeased David with reminders of God's power, but his justice. So you're there in 1 Samuel. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to read the whole thing here. Okay, now you got to remember, David's out with his troops, and he's hungry. He's out in the wilderness. So he sends his men to go see Nabal, because Nabal was shearing his sheep. And when they sheared the sheep, that was a time of festivity. There was ample food and wine and drink that was there. And so David, he sends his men. David sent 10 of his young men. And David said to the young men, this is verse 5, "Go up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name." And I remind you, David was the anointed one. Was he not? But he wasn't king yet, but he was the anointed one. "And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. Now I have heard that you have shears. Your shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes, please give whatever comes to your hand, to your servants, and to your son David." So when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal, and according to all these words, in the name of David, and they waited. Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shears and give it to men who I do not know where they are from?" So David's young men turned on their heels and they went back, and they came and told him all these words. Then David said to his men, "Every man gird on his sword." So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 of the men went with David, and 200 of them stayed back to watch over the provisions and the supplies. Now, one of the young men told Abigail, the wise wife, "Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. He insulted them. But the men were very great to us. But the men were very good to us," his servant said. "And we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them. When we were in the fields, there was a wall up around us, both day and night. And all the time we were with them, they were keeping us safe with the sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what you will do. For harm is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a scoundrel, the one cannot speak to him." Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seats of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, "Go on before me, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband. No, Nabal, in the Hebrew, you know what it means? Fool. Fool. So it was as she rode on the donkey that she went down undercover on the hill. And there were David and his men coming down toward her. And she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missing and all that belongs to him. And he has repaid me evil for good." He touched God's anointed. Remember, David's the anointed one. "May God do so and more also to the enemies of David if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning." Now Abigail saw David, and she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed before to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, "Oh, may my Lord, on me, let this iniquity be." She was willing to take responsibility for her stupid, foolish husband's actions. "And please, let your maidenservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidenservant. Please, let not my Lord regard this scoundrel, Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now let your enemies and those who seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal. And now this present which your maidenservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for you, my Lord, an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord. And evil is not found in you throughout your days. Yet a man has risen to pursue you." Saul was trying to kill him and to seek your life. "But the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. And the lives of your enemies shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. Abigail was reminding David that a just God exerts his power to defeat Israel's army, not to seek revenge. Abigail's boldness paid off. Her family was spared. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all that is good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Egypt. She knew he was going to be king. One who told her he was going to be king. Now, I think God was taking care of Abigail. That this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord. Either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maiden servant. Remember me. David told her, it's okay, my dear. He took her gift. But he was also reminded that God will take care of him. He's not to use the power that's been given to him to seek revenge. He's God's anointed. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left to Nabal. So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person. I thought that was pretty cool. He listened to her. And he said, you know, you're right. Guys, when your wife speaks to you, listen. God hooked us up with perfect mates, each and every one of us. Amen. Now, Abigail, she went back to Nabal, and there he was, holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore, she told him nothing, little or much, until morning. So it was in the morning when the wine had gone from the ball, and his wife had told him these things which he had done, that his heart died within him, and he became like a stone. His spirit was gone. It was dead. Then it happened. After about 10 days, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. Moral of the story, don't touch God's anointed. Don't touch God's anointed. But now you got to understand, if you just read, Abigail was one sweet-looking lady, and she was not full. She was very smart. Now, David found out that Nabal, he was gone. God avenged him. That blood wasn't on his hands. God took care of his. Got him out of the way. And he says, so he proposed to Abigail, and she accepted. Hey, she went from pretty good here to really good here. Amen. Pays to be aware of who the anointed is of God. In Psalm 89, verse 14, of the Good News translation, that your kingdom is founded on righteousness and justice, love and faithfulness are shown in all you do. While many might not prefer to think of God, though, as the overpowerer, he is indeed omnipotent. Omnipotent over all. He is sovereign over all life and death. And he is fearsome in strength to overcome any enemy. Any enemy. The Philistine giant, Goliath. He was mighty, right? But he was not almighty. He was not almighty. Omnipotent, though, is sometimes a reference to God's sufficiency. On Mount Sinai and in the wilderness, God sought to show his people that he was sufficient for them. His wisdom, unlimited power, and eternal nature were enough for Israel. He fed them, and he provided drink for them in the desert. Fresh, cool water. You think he's going to give them warm water, even in a desert? I don't think so. Because if you're thinking that, you're limiting the power of God right there. You just don't think, you got to think like he thinks. How'd you like that? You think Grubhub is something now new? No. He was delivering right to their doors outside. All they do is go outside and get it. He's still doing the same today for us. He's supplying for us. He makes sure we're fed. How many of you are hungry? Your refrigerator got food in it? Glory be to God. When you turn the faucet on, does water come out and you get a drink? Or if you got the impurities, you got them in the refrigerator, pull them out. Nice, ice cold water, yeah. We have so much to be thankful for, and we take it for granted. So did the Israelites. Hasn't changed, folks. But we can, as the church. We can. Now, the psalmist wrote about those who contend with and plot against the Father and his anointed Son, trying to claim greater wisdom and power than the Lord of heaven. But God laughs at their silly assertions. God laughs. In Psalm 2, Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. What fools the nations are that rage against the Lord? How strange that men should try to outwit God. For a summit conference of the nations has been called to plot against the Lord and his Messiah, Christ the King. Trying to come against the church and tell the church they can't assemble and come together to worship God Almighty? He's God Almighty, all powerful. Come, let us break his chains, they say, and free ourselves from all this slavery to God. Verse 4. But God in heaven merely laughs. He is amused by all their puny plans. God laughs. I'm telling you, God's laughing right now. He's laughing. And we should be laughing. We should be full of joy for the expectation to see the glory of God that's going to come big time in this nation. I'm telling you. God is on the move, folks. He's cleaning it up. We've been praying. As he said, if my people will humble themselves and pray. Pray. Prayer changes things. And are we to take back and sit back and say, oh, God did? No, God says, keep praying. Keep praying. You're my people. I want to hear you. I want to hear you. He loves fellowshipping with you. Boy, good thing I don't know. You're not close enough. Boy, that spit come out there. Yeah. I bet I got somebody. Of course, it would have been holy spit. Sorry about that. There are those who mock and play games with God, and they can do it all they want. But God's wisdom and power are far beyond them. They are foolish to contend with the Almighty, the all-powerful one. Psalm 1. I got my notes here, but, you know. Psalm 1 is so good. We just ain't going to read we're going to read the whole thing. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. We're talking about his word. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. It pays to word up. The word, folks. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Oh, no. They're not going to be able to stand on judgment day. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God will not be mocked. Psalm 37, verses 7 through 10. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to more evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. God is not only omnipotent, he's omniscient. He's omniscient. Having knowledge of all things past, present, and future. God is the source of all knowledge. God also knows all the potentialities of any situation. We don't. He does. May I remind you of that? God knows every person's thoughts, even before they think them. God is well able to prepare his anointed. I will leave you with that thought. Because in Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. Now in Galatians 6, 7, Passion Translation, make no mistake about it. God will never be mocked. God will never be mocked. It's in His Word, folks. When God speaks, listen. For what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. You plant confusion, discord, chaos. Guess what you're going to reap? God is also omnipresent, meaning He is anywhere and everywhere, all the time, at the same time. Everybody just went, really? This is God. This is God. All powerful. All knowing. Come on. And He's everywhere. See, and the only one capable of being omnipresent is Him. We can't. He can. Never alone. Think about that. Never alone. And you know the ungodly and the sinners? It means they can't hide. They can't hide no matter how hard they try. They can't. They can't hide from God. He's omnipresent. God sees and hears everything. God will never be mocked. God knows everything. He is everywhere, and He is all-powerful. Now, in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Here we read about God's omnipotence. For His power is eternal and is visible by the creation we see all around us. All things were made because He spoke them into existence. How else did matter come into being? Ain't no Big Bang theory. I'm just telling you, Yeah, but that's man, see. But this is why the atheists and skeptics are without excuse. They can't deny it. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says, for by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. It's all He is. We're merely stewards. Remember that. We're merely stewards. And if you're a good steward, you're going to be blessed above and beyond your expectations, because your expectations are like this. God is like this. Anything that exists was created, and all things that were created, whether they are material or immaterial, seen or unseen, were for Him and by Him. This includes every dominion, power, throne, ruler, and every single authority on earth and in heaven, all created by Him. And He is sovereign over all of them. Supreme ruler. There's none above him. He answers to no one. And he is holy. He is holy. He can't stand sin. Can't stand it. When we get to that point, then we'll know how God sees it. But see, we're earthly vessels. We live in such a corrupt world. I'm sorry, it's corrupt. You know, you can't take it away from it. Trying to take our rights to assemble together to worship our God. Who do they think they are? When are they going to wake up and realize that they're messing with God Almighty? And it's going to be sooner than you think, folks. My spirit tells me that. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, the Son radiates God's own glory, expresses the very character of God, and He sustains everything by the power of His Word. Here we see that the universe is the exact imprint of His nature, in the sense that to the human eye, the universe seems infinite, enormous, and unending. We don't know the fullness of the expanse of the universe. In other words, we have no clue how vast it is. The size alone cannot be estimated. Man's trying. Man's trying. Michael, you're going to like this. You're going to like this. Man, because of his thirst for knowledge about the universe, developed telescopes to look into the universe. The Hubble Space Telescope, and we've all heard about it, right? Is one of the most powerful telescopes in use right now. But they're building another deep space telescope, Michael. It's 100 times more powerful than the Hubble telescope. And it's called the James Webb Telescope. They say that it can look back 16.3 billion years when it's looking into deep space. And they do that because they can measure the speed of light, and we look at things in light years. So that's how they come up with man's thing. And guess what? It's going to be launched on March 2021. There's such a quest to find God. Don't look at His creation. Just look to Him. What's man wasting? But they're wasting a lot of money. That's all I can say. But they want to look back. They're trying to find out more and more because of their thirst for knowledge. And if they would just hook up with God, He'd give them more knowledge than they ever had. This vast universe is being upheld, though. As much as you could think about that, it's being upheld by God's own Word. For in His Word, there is His power. His name is powerful, and His words are unstoppable. His words are unstoppable. Now, in Colossians 1, but look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, He existed before anything else, and He holds all of creation together. And He doesn't even break out in a sweat. See, when you give it to Him, He can get things back in order and back together because He holds it together. When you're trying to hold some things in your life together, you know, if you would just rely on the Lord, He will take care of you. He will put it in order. He created this universe. He created this universe. The very nature of matter is being held together by the power of His Word. All things hold together and consist by this power of His Word, for without this power, the universe and all matter would enter into a chaos, and life would not be possible. He is omnipotent, the all-powerful one, the creator of everything. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Just look at the solar system. Created it, said, okay, stay in place. And it's been perfect cycling in all my life. Life of my parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, and just goes on. Long time. Long, long time. But that's Psalm 33, verse 9, by the way. See, I want you to understand that He is the Lord God Almighty, the all-powerful one. Nothing nor anyone is more powerful. And He's on your side. He's on your side. That's pretty cool. He's on my side. In Psalm 118, verses 6 and 7, the Lord is with me. Can you say that? The Lord is with me. So I will have no fear. What can mere men do to me? Yes, the Lord is with me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. Just smile. Smile and wave. Smile and wave. The Lord loves you. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Everything. In Romans 8, 28 through 31, Romans 8, 28, 31. Surely there was so much to get in, that's the reason I'm doing it this way today. Not like, because she's back here trying to write it down. I love her. Yeah, you guys don't understand. I love Shirley too. But Romans 8, 28 through 31. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. It means He honors you. He praises you. That's what that means. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. When you go on for negotiations, you go in with that kind of confidence and it rocks them. They don't have an answer for you. Hey, who invited him here? We don't want that man here. He's got too much knowledge, too much wisdom. No, because he got too much God in him. That's why you don't want him here in the negotiations. You'll make a difference, sir. Your workers, co-workers, see it. You're speaking for them because you're speaking for God. God's omnipotence is an incommutable characteristic of God, belonging to God only. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. But He can provide us with power as we need it. He can't give us all power, but He can give us power. in Luke 10, 19. Okay, brother, Amplified classic for you. Behold, I have given you authority and power. He's given us authority and power to trample upon the serpents and the scorpions, both physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. And nothing shall in any way harm you. Nothing. Matthew 18, verses 18 through 19. Assuredly. Oh, this is Jesus speaking, by the way. Assuredly. Because I think somebody said that up here this morning from the pulpit. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Verse 19. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. There is awesome power in agreement. But you must be in agreement. There's a key. We must be in agreement. Joshua 23, verse 10. The Living Bible. Each one of you has the ability to put to flight 1,000 of the enemy, for the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. That's what you're capable of. Get two of you in agreement. Oh, three. Oh, how about if we get the whole church around the world in agreement? Ho ho! What can be accomplished through the prayer of agreement? Man, we're unlimited in the power that the King of Glory has given to us. We don't fight alone. And we fight with the armor of God. We fight with the armor of God. Ephesians 6. I'll let you look that one up, Shirley. Ephesians 6, as I'm getting there. Look to verse 10. Finally, my brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Because there's none mightier. It's His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. God's the Almighty. God's armor. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having gird your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Yeah, I don't think you heard that. Will be able to quench all. What does all mean? All the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He's given us His armor. God Almighty, the all-powerful one. He is omnipotent. And He's on our side. So quit letting the devil tread on you. Tell him, you can't tread on me no more, devil. You're done. Ain't no weapon formed against me going to prosper. Because he's made you more than an overcomer. He's made you a conqueror through his son, Jesus Christ, who loves you. Because what's love got to do with it? Everything. Everything. Amen. And we're going to stop there. Because I don't think you want to hear about that. Maybe you do. Let me just add one last scripture to you. Can I give you one more scripture? So I think it's pretty awesome. Isaiah 44:24. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who made all things, who also stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself. The miracle that is human life is only made possible by the author of life. He is sufficiently powerful enough to stretch out the heavens, to spread out the earth, yet form life from the tiniest microscopic level. And he needs no assistance from man. Even though man keeps trying, needs to quit trying. Quit messing with life. No one can aid God in these majestic, mighty, and all-powerful works. There is no one that can compare or contrast with God, for he is infinitely above all things and is indescribable and inscrutable. But man makes microscopes. Microscopic microscopes. There's a man back there that can tell you about the power of microscopes. To see the tiniest little thing. He can look at that. They're trying to look at that little egg. Okay, how's that going to work? We're gonna break this DNA. And every time they think they've broken it down, they know it all. They found out they don't know it all. Because God knows it all. He's omniscient. He knows it all. But he cared enough to make sure that he took that smallest microscopic sperm and that egg and went, and life. There was life. And when that happens, then we have Joey number 3. Amen. God bless all. Jesus never went to you.